Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's broadcast of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're glad to have you here with us. We are coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, where today it's a beautiful day. Hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with my co-host, Steven Cervantes. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Well, this week we're going to kind of flip it around. Steve's going to be the interviewer, and I guess I'm going to be the interviewee, but we've got a good topic that we're going to talk about this
morning. That's right. I understand you've been doing a little work, Jonathan, and you're ready to share with our listening audience the topic of pornography.
Ooh.
It's funny, we're having this discussion. You know, that's not a word that Christians use very much. And Jonathan responded, well, you hear it in the culture, porn. Yeah, but it's like you hear it in sleazy places or edgy kind of, you know, go see this show. It's got a little bit of soft porn. You know, you don't... Mm-hmm. In pornography, I don't know, that word, you're going to tell us about that word, aren't you?
Yeah, you're right. It's not something that we necessarily warm up to, especially in the Christian culture. I mean, you think about it, if you just went into any church in America and just said pornography,
you'd hear a gasp.
There'd be like this
silence.
It'd be like a ripple in a pond, you know, after a rock gets thrown in there, people just like scatter,
moving away. Yeah, you know? That's good.
So yeah, it's not something that is, but just because it's not something that is talked about a whole lot doesn't mean that it's not a huge problem, whether it be in the culture or in the church. So I think to get this kicked off, we need to put parameters on a definition. Because I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of different ideas about, well, what is pornography? And if I were to ask you, Stephen, if somebody was just to come up to you and ask you, what is pornography, what would you give them as like the traditional definition, do you think, of pornography?
You know, it's funny, as you were talking, my head was already firing off on this topic, and I was thinking about nakedness. Mm-hmm. But there's an okay side of nakedness, and then there's like a dark, evil side of misuse of nakedness. So, mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I guess I think the traditional definition would be something about this nudity, mm-hmm. with the idea of doing something that's kind of hidden or secret or edgy.
Yeah.
You know, something where... You instinctively know, all right, I'm not doing something that's right, you know. And I think that's kind of where pornography has been. It's like, okay, that's the Playboy magazine or where my whole purpose in going to see this nakedness is for self pleasure
or arousal,
for some type of, yeah, exactly,
for a surge.
And I think most of us, for our definition traditionally, has always included the idea of nudity. You know, no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get people to kind of rethink that their own definition, because I think what's happened in our culture is we've certainly slipped very far in terms of the naked pornography that's out there. But there is a whole lot of other, what I would define as porn, in the culture that is just as dangerous, maybe even more so, because it's subtly destroying minds and destroying lives. And so I would challenge people to think of a new definition that I've got here for pornography, and that would be: pornography is anything created with the express purpose of causing sexual arousal. So if that's maybe the new definition, maybe Stephen, we're gonna get in Webster's dictionary here in a few years as maybe the the sixth definition of pornography, but...
But let me think about this amount. You're saying anything, any misuse of sexual material that ends in sexual arousal.
Well, I'm talking about anything created with the express purpose of sexual arousal. Let me give you an example.
But we're talking inappropriate stuff, because I guess, is there any healthy sexual arousal?
Sure. Yeah, I'm thinking about within the context of marriage.
Okay. Your
Absolutely.
Spouse, sure.
And so, yeah, you're right. There is an inappropriate nature to it. For instance, a good example would be, what on earth does a woman in a bikini have to do with selling a car?
I'll have to think about that a minute.
I mean, is it not... I mean, think about it this way. How many marketers use inappropriate sexual, you know, images or activities or whatever in order to sell their product? You think about it. If you're selling a car to a guy, is it... If he gets charged up, I mean, if he's seeing a beautiful woman that's part of this advertising to sell this car... Do most men think rationally when they're sexually aroused? Is it a lot easier?
Everybody that's out there listening is smiling right now.
I mean, it's a lot easier to say, "Hey, drop $50,000 on this Hummer," right? If you got a beautiful woman draped across it. So that's the whole idea, is to kind of start rethinking this definition from maybe the traditional to
arousal.
Are there even some other boundaries that are a little grayer?
That's interesting, because, I mean, you see at sporting events, right?
Yeah.
You see arousal associated with the sporting event.
Cheerleaders,
arousal,
all that kind of stuff.
With sales of different products. They're trying to pair two things together. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I think just for our listeners, just start thinking, are there some things that you allow your eyes to come across that you go, oh, that's not pornography, but isn't it still kind of... in that same vein of pornography where it's like, oh, would you tell your wife about it? Would you, would you talk to your buddies about it? That, I mean, your Christian accountability, would you talk to your pastor about it? And you go, oh, well, I guess not. You know, would you talk about that magazine cover that you looked at that, hey, she's not naked, but I sure didn't have pure thoughts in my mind when I'm looking at that. And so I think that's the
boundary. Yes, and I think you're talking about slipping a notch or two. Instead of holding the standard that we're calling men and women to hold, a higher standard of sexual purity, a higher standard of sexual thoughts, which is appropriate thoughts. I mean, you're talking about lowering it down a few notches and allowing any kind of sexual slop, if you will, in,
well,
because it's exciting.
Yeah, and I think that's where the culture has been very subtle in this. You know, where they've tried to keep this hardline definition of pornography being nudity. Whereas even now in our television programs, is there a program out there, Stephen, anymore that doesn't have viewer discretion advised as like the primetime program? So, and a lot of those is because they're trying to push that line of what is porn and not porn. And they're saying that, oh, seeing the back of a naked woman is not pornography. So they're keeping that, they're just keep pushing that line more and more to where then you start wanting to believe it. Oh yeah, I didn't look at porn.
Yes.
And it's that line is being pushed.
Well, it's like lowering the standard, right?
Right.
Dumbing down the standard from what we were called in the beginning as a people and are still called to hold a higher standard of sexual thought purity.
Well, and that's a great segue into a particular verse that I wanted to share. We're actually going to do this in two programs, because there's no way we could fit all the stuff that we want to do in this program into one, because we want to share some statistics with you. We want to share with you some of the outlets, the most common outlets of pornography, and some great Bible verses that hopefully will be encouraging to you. And then finally, give you your own strategy for how to deal with the pornography that you may be struggling with in your life. But you mentioned about this line being pushed, and you know, in Ephesians 5:3, we are told in Ephesians 5:3 that there's not even to be a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. And so, you know, you think about that, not even a hint. So what am I looking at? You know, what am I allowing into my mind if God says, I want my people to be a pure people? I want my people to not even have a hint of sexual immorality.
Yes.
So that, I think, automatically, for my life anyway, immediately includes a lot of gray areas that I might try to, in the past, might have tried to justify as saying, well, it's not porn, because I would latch onto the traditional definition of porn. And yet God says there's not even to be a hint
right.
of sexual immorality.
Yes, yes. And that's a tough one,
mm-hmm.
but that's the gold standard.
That's the standard, and that's why I wanted to kind of segue with that on your comment, because you said we've kind of allowed the standard to slip.
That's right.
And it becomes easier to
and
justify.
And we've even lied to ourselves and said, well, you know how boys are. And
yeah.
Boys will be boys,
exactly.
and they can't help themselves. And it's funny because you even hear guys telling girls that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like guys lying to girls and then girls repeating that, oh, yeah, they can't help themselves. They're like that. Somebody once said, sex is like food to men. They just have to have it. If they can't get it at home, they have to mm-hmm. have it. You know?
Well, it's almost like what's happened in our culture is pornography and sexual immorality has become a right for every man.
Wow.
It's like, well, that's just part of my rights as being a man, is I can do this, and it's not a morally inappropriate thing because...
That is a lie.
I'm a man, yeah.
That is a lie. And it'll eat your soul is what it'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to give... we're going to split this up. There are four primary outlets that I've seen in this ministry where pornography is most prevalent. And we're going to give you two this week, and we'll give you the other two next week. But the first one is probably going to be very obvious to you, and that's the internet. The internet has absolutely exploded the pornography industry. It's mind-boggling to me, the explosion of pornography on the internet. In fact, this was back in 2000, so 7 years ago, they did a survey, and they found out that 60% of all website visits are sexual in nature.
Wow.
That's back in 2000, and 60%, over half of all the website visits in the world are sexual in nature. So it's a huge, the internet is just a huge arena in which pornography is present. And there's actually, this was in 2004, there were over 260 million pornographic web pages. Now, you know, when you start talking with numbers that have that many zeros, it's very hard for me to comprehend that. I mean, you think about the old days, you know, 30,
right.
40 years ago. If you went out and got one magazine, maybe you've got 30 or 40 pictures in one magazine.
Right.
Well, now there's over 200 million web pages. And, you know, some of these websites, they have up to 30,000 images on one website. So it's mind-boggling how much pornography is just available on the internet. I mean, I'd be interested to know statistically if a person was sitting at their computer and every 10 seconds was looking at a new image, how long would it take them to exhaust all of the pornographic images that are on a website when there's 300 additional websites, pornographic websites, being added every day to the internet.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking, if there was an adolescent. And if you could take an adolescent from 30 years ago and they may come across a porn magazine and look at their 20 or 30 pictures and keep it or hide it or save it for a while and trash it and, you know, several months later get another one or something like that. Think about that versus somebody sitting in front of a computer looking at thousands and thousands of pictures. What's the difference? What's going to happen to that mind
mm-hmm.
when it just spends hours and hours being aroused?
And think about how the perceived risk has diminished. And I say perceived risk because, okay, in the quote-unquote olden days, to get a magazine, there was some risk involved. You either had to find it or you had to go steal it or you had to go buy it. There was risk involved. Plus, then you have something tangible that could be found. There was a lot more risk. The internet, you're in your own home. Some have them in their own room, with no filters, no accountability, and there's not. They think there's no risk, you know. But you're right. There's just so much more volume of garbage that can be dumped in a mind through the internet. And it's both saddening and sickening to me to think of that, because the saddening part is that you're right, there's so many impressionable minds out there that there's another statistic that 90% of teenagers have viewed a pornographic website, and the majority of those, it was by accident while searching for something legitimate. So pornographers are also being very aggressive on the internet and trying to, they're trying to capture new consumers. And the largest consumer group of pornography is between 13 and 19 years old. So, you know, I know I'm throwing out a lot of statistics here, but but if parents are listening, I really want them, I want their system to be a little bit shocked and say, whoa, what am I doing in order to help protect my child, in order to help train them?
Yeah, let me tell you a little story that, that kind of parallels what you're talking about. I was trying to get to Google, and I mistyped it, and I typed just one O instead of two O's. Isn't it G-O-O-G? Anyway, I mistyped it and left an O out. And it went to a dating website. Now what happened? Somebody thought, there's going to be people mistyping this word. We're going to be there. And this date, I thought, what is this dating website coming up? And then I went back and looked in the history, and I saw I mistyped it. And so I intentionally mistyped it again to see if that was right. Is that what that what? And that's exactly what happens with pornography. Is they'll try to piggyback on legitimate words and put a little different ending on it or a misspelling, and your kid types the wrong thing in error, and boom, they're at a porn site.
Well, and what's sickening to me is that, you know, it's bad enough that they do that with quote unquote adult websites, and I mean that in terms of, like, you know, people that are 21 and older, you know, let's say like a Google or something like that. But, you know, pornographers would be the first to tell you, oh, you know, we are only marketing to adults, we're only doing this for, it's adult material. But many of these sites that they are misspelling are like cartoon characters, children's network type websites, where they misspell the words. They are actively pursuing children as consumers because they know that pornography is addictive, and if they get you hooked at a young age, they've got a consumer for life. Because the average age of first-time pornography, viewing pornography for the first time, is 9 years old. The average age at which a person starts getting help for their pornography use, 30 to 35 years old. So these pornographers know if I latch them in at 9 or 10 years old, I've got a 20-plus year consumer at least. And so, you know, this is...
And you by that time, you'll have a kind of a warped mind in terms of garbage and thought process and development. You'll have kind of emotionally retarded adult, emotionally retarded, meaning delayed and not able to deal in a healthy sort of emotional way. Because once you get addicted to porn, the solution to your problems is your addiction, right? You're stressed, you look at porn. You're tired, you look at porn. You're lonely, you look at porn.
Yeah.
Well, did you have a number two outlet?
Number
you
two. Said? Yes. Number two is videos and movies. It's amazing the number of videos and movies that are coming out that are pornographic. In fact, it's shown that annual rentals and sales of adult videos and DVDs top $4 billion, and the porn industry produces over 11,000 titles each year. Now, to put that in perspective, that is 20 times as many as Hollywood produces in a year. So think of how many movies Hollywood's cranking out, and pornography, they crank out 20 times as many videos in each year. And it's over a $4 billion industry, just the videos alone. So,
and really, you must be able to purchase. I'm a little ignorant about this, but if you go to these XXX places, they probably have all these movies. Mm-hmm. If you go on the internet, you could probably buy these movies
or download them. Yeah.
Okay. Because do you have any other knowledge about that's a tremendous amount of movies that are being produced. How are they getting put in the hands of people?
Well, and that's just it. A lot of these movies, it's interesting. You know, the pornography movie business. They're all, the budgets for these movies are next to nothing. I mean, what is it? Two people having sex. And they don't pay any money for a set or anything. I mean, it's just, It's
whose
very,
house are we going to film?
Exactly,
right?
It's very cheap to produce these movies, so they don't necessarily market them to get the highest volume, because they know that, like, they've done studies in the hotel rooms, the pornography that's available in the hotel chains. The average amount of time that the movies are watched in the hotel rooms is 7 minutes. So you think about that. They're producing these movies. The movies may be an hour long, but guys are only watching them for 7 minutes on average, for whatever reason, you know.
Arousal
or maybe some of them, you know, quite honestly, some of them may be a guilty thing.
Yeah.
They turn it off.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason is. But so the porn business knows this. So they just keep cranking out more and more. And you and I both know also that in pornography's addictive nature, it is based on the premise of dissatisfaction. So if I watch this one porn movie, maybe I watch it two or three times. At some point, I go, I'm bored of this one.
Mm-hmm.
I want another one. So they got to keep producing more and more and more and more, because they know how addictive this is. And if you watch one movie today and then you watch the same one tomorrow, you go, I want a new one.
Yeah, and the problem is they tend to get raunchier and raunchier as they try to press the limits, and they get more bizarre as
exactly
the further you pursue in a sexuality in a distorted sort of way. I mean, it ends up in pretty weird places.
Well, those are the two outlets that I'm going to mention this week. We got two more that we're going to talk about next week. I want to share a verse with you. A lot of people will ask, especially in our ministry, they say, you know, what does God want me to do? What does God say about my sexuality? And in 1 Thessalonians 4, God is very clear. I love it, because it's not that often that God just says, this is my will for you. It's very rare. I mean, there are some times that he does that, and this is one of those times. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says this. It said, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Now, that's very clear. It's God is saying, my will for you concerning your sexuality is to avoid sexual immorality, avoid pornography, avoid those things that are going to cause you to want to go down this path of sexual immorality. And to me, that's both a good warning, but it's also encouraging, because it's like there's so many people out there that say, well, God's just so silent on all these things, and God just doesn't talk about these things, and I don't know what he wants. Well, he says, I'm going to be very, very clear. There's no doubt ever that it's my will that you be sanctified and that you avoid sexual immorality.
That's good. Here's mine. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love that verse. And I would challenge you today to hold purity, to move to purity, to embrace purity. It is the gold standard of your Heavenly Father.
Excellent. Now, I mentioned also that we're going to give you a strategy. Well, there's 4 points to this strategy, and I want to give you the first two this week, and then you got to listen next week to get the next two. The first step that I encourage you to do in this strategy is to do what I call a property inventory. And this is basically, you look around your life, look around your house, look around your office, look around your car, look at the property that you have. Do you actually own some pornography? Do you own some DVDs? Do you own some videos? On your computer, are you downloading porn? Do you have files on your computer that are pornography? When you do that property inventory, what you're doing, and we're going to get to what you do with this once you have done this inventory. We'll get to that next week. That's called the teaser, folks. But what you do is you just take this inventory and you say, what are the things in my property that would fit this new definition of pornography? These things that, okay, maybe it's not total nudity, but maybe I've held onto a Victoria's Secret magazine. Maybe I've got a few things in my closet that I wouldn't share with my pastor. I wouldn't share with my wife. I wouldn't share these things that I'm looking at or doing. You look at your television. What channels are you allowing to come through? Look at your internet. Oh, those types of things. That's a property inventory. The second thing I ask people...
It's funny, just a minute, I got to interrupt, because it's like you're really calling people to really clean up.
Literally.
You know? And I got to tell the story. There was this picture in this attic of this house I moved into, and it was this girl in a bikini on a hot rod. I think I left that up there for several years, because when I'd go up, haul stuff up to the attic, there was this poster that somebody left, and so, you know, I take an eyeful and have some mm-hmm. fun and leave it there.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. You're asking us to really press into all the little things, not just the big things, even the little things that are stumbling blocks, that are really things that cause your heavenly heart's your heavenly Father's heart to hurt. Mm-hmm. That you're holding on to a secret, that you have a little thing that you think is so, so valuable and so, so good that you're going to keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You're really asking us to be more honest about those little things too.
Exactly. Right? And the second thing I'd encourage you to do is what I call a personal inventory. This is more the inside stuff. Mm-hmm. What are you in the corners of your mind and your heart? Where are those? What are those dark places in there that you're allowing? Like Stephen is saying, you're kind of hanging on to those little things. Because see, it's not just a matter of having something physical that you're hanging on to, like a DVD or something like that. We hang on to stuff in our minds. We kind of keep a little closet there sometimes. We say, that's my personal stash
in my mind. The best of, the best of collection in my head.
Exactly. So we take a personal inventory and say, what are the fantasies that I allow to remain? What kind of memories do I allow to remain? What images am I keeping in my head? And we do an inventory there. Now, we are out of time for this week, but we're going to give you some great, going to wrap up this talk next week and give you some additional tools that will be part of completing your strategy for really being able to fight porn and win. We'll see you back here next week. Man, are you looking for a good place to start your journey towards purity? Then I want to recommend our 40 Days of Purity workbook. It is an outstanding resource that gives you daily insights and practical purity tips that you can use to become the man of purity that you want to be. We also want to give a 10% discount to all of our listeners. So if you will go to our online store at pureliferesources.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code RADIO. Again, that's www.pureliferesources.com and use the coupon code RADIO to get your 10% discount on our 40 Days of Purity workbook.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.